Hello, and welcome to another edition of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by your state senator, Kristen Phillips Hill. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a while since we last spoke on issues important to our community. And my most recent podcast episodes focused on updates pertaining to York County's response to the coronavirus pandemic by talking to key stakeholders. The last few weeks have been a whirlwind of updates and shifting guidance on the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. Up until this point in Pennsylvania, the COVID-19 vaccine has been administered to healthcare professionals and residents and staff of our long-term care and nursing facilities. I think it's really important that we discuss the latest developments out of Harrisburg as it pertains to the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. Before we dive into this discussion, I want to make a few things very clear to our listeners. This podcast is being recorded on January 21st, so please be aware that new guidance and updates may change what we discuss here today. Also, this vaccine is completely voluntary and there is no state mandate to receive this vaccine. And with that being said, I'm very grateful to welcome our special guest for today's program, Joan Bradbury. Joan is the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Senate Health and Human Services Committee, and she has been in frequent contact with the Department of Health throughout this pandemic. And over the last few weeks, has been the point of contact for legislators with the Department of Health on the latest developments with the COVID-19 vaccine in Pennsylvania. Joan, welcome to the program.
Great to have you today.
Well, I want to talk about the latest developments on the vaccine. There's a lot of information out there, but I want to focus specifically on Pennsylvania. Right now, Pennsylvania is involved in two vaccine distributions, one that's being led by the federal government to our nursing home facilities, our personal care homes, and assisted living residences, and another through our hospitals and health systems. And I mentioned earlier that the vaccine has been largely administered to healthcare workers and residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. So the state laid out a plan in phases as to who is eligible for the vaccine. So this week they updated those phases. So Joan, can you walk us through those changes in the phases and where we currently stand?
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having me, Senator. And I think starting with something that you just mentioned related to kind of what the state likes to refer to as two missions. So we have the vaccine, to your point, that is coming in through the federal pharmacy partnership with CVS and Walgreens from the federal government to our nursing homes, personal care, and assisted living facilities, the latter of which just started this week. And on the other side, we have the states roll out for the distribution going to our hospitals and health systems, and now more recently also coming to our retail pharmacies and other partnerships that the state has developed with Topco, which are a lot of the pharmacies that are based in a lot of our grocery stores. So between those two missions, we get vaccine for those purposes. So the feds send the vaccine for those long-term care facilities that we mentioned, and the manufacturers directly distribute the vaccine that comes to our hospitals and health systems. So when we talk about the phases and the phase distribution of the vaccine, Pennsylvania is a little unique in that we decided, or our state government decided, to follow the federal guidelines. And so the federal guidelines have recommended this phased approach to rolling out the vaccine, particularly the Centers for Disease Control, to make sure that we are targeting populations with the highest possible risk of severe reaction to the virus, basically those that are pretty much most eligible to unfortunately die because of the virus. So given that phased approach, Pennsylvania has been working for almost 2 months now to roll out the vaccine across the state. So phase one historically included just our healthcare workers. So you may recall that probably the last time you had a podcast, you still had three phases, or you may have been talking about there being, you know, phase one, two, and three. of kind of who's going to be getting vaccine when. So based off these federal recommendations, our state administration has decided to follow them and shift some of those populations. So earlier this week, and I'll get into this a little bit more, but we received guidance from the federal government to include 65 and older, as well as individuals 16 to 64 with pre-existing medical conditions into phase 1A. So previously, the 65 and older population was to be vaccinated in phase 1C. The really important thing to mention about that kind of leapfrogging a little bit that we have going on with the phases is that phase 1B included some really important essential non-medical workers. So phase 1A historically was really focused on our healthcare workers, those frontline workers, in hospitals and health systems, in the community, making sure that they all got vaccinated, including EMS. And then 1B, really including our law enforcement, as well as firefighters, some of our key manufacturing, and most importantly, I think part of a lot of the frustration you're hearing from your district related to school districts and teachers. So if we're recommending that teachers go back to in-person instruction, but we're not really preparing them by getting them vaccinated first. And I know that's a concern statewide that we've been hearing a lot.
Well, and I think that that is a big concern. But the biggest change seemed to be moving those individuals who were age 65 and over into phase 1A. And I'm sure as people are listening, they're going, phase 1, 2, 3, phase 1, 1A, 1B. It can get kind of confusing. Has there been any indication given on when people now included in phase 1A can expect to sign up for their vaccine and where they can receive this vaccine? A lot of the calls we're receiving is, how do I even go about doing this?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I think that's really important to mention first and foremost is that our state in this phase distribution, again, following the federal recommendations, has chosen to really rely on our hospitals and health systems to get vaccine out to phase 1A. You know, one of the things that our caucus has really been working hard to get out there is allowing pharmacies, particularly local pharmacies, to assist in this rollout. So 1A, prior to the changes this week of now including the 65 plus and the 16 to 64 with medical conditions, was already a population of about 1 million Pennsylvanians. So after this shift, we now have about 3.5 million Pennsylvanians that are going to be in this phase 1A category. So this question of, okay, now I'm eligible, but where do I get it and how do I sign up, is really challenging, because what did not come with this news this week was the promise of more vaccine. And at this point, the state continues to receive a distribution from the manufacturers. On a weekly basis, they're notified of basically how much they're going to get. And a distribution really is announced the week of where that vaccine is going to be going. And as that process occurs, you know, we have so many people now. And to your point, Senator, it's a good problem to that extent. We want people to get vaccinated. And we want to make sure that we can try to fight the pandemic from what we call a herd immunity perspective of the more people that are vaccinated, the less likely that the vaccine can, or that the virus can spread. So throughout that process, the state has been a little reluctant to give a lot of information to our constituents. And I think that's what's caused a lot of frustration. So just announced earlier this week, the Department of Health, and we can provide these links to your constituents, but the Department of Health has put together an interactive map on their website. And that map includes all of the various healthcare providers that are enrolled to administer vaccine throughout the state. So you can search by a particular provider if you are a patient of a particular health system. You can search by now a pharmacy and see if your local pharmacy is enrolled And then you can also look by your county or search by your address. And really, that website is truly the number one way for our constituents to find out how to get their vaccine. There is a new quiz that the department put up there this week for folks to try to figure out if they're eligible yet or not. That's something that we have a little bit of a struggle with, right? So there's this moral idea of, well, it's available. We want to make sure we get it out there. But then there's the public health concerns of, well, there's some populations that are really at risk. We want to make sure that they get vaccine. So that sub-prioritization is what the department calls it, is really challenging. And when we look at that at a local level, I think that's part of what has, delayed some of our rollout as a state.
Well, and you began to talk about our teachers, our education professionals, children being in school. We recently had the directive from the Department of Health and the Department of Education that elementary school children really need to be back in in-person education. I'm hearing from teachers. I'm also hearing from wastewater treatment employees, right, which is a fairly essential service, that they're frustrated that they're not eligible for the vaccine at this time under phase 1A. And I certainly completely understand that frustration. And the Department of Health continues to update their guidance. But today, to date, they've not really consulted with the General Assembly on the best path forward or what we're hearing from our constituents. And I think we're advocating on behalf of our constituents and encouraging the administration to allow movement into phase 1B as it naturally occurs when there's vaccine available, and also to ensure that there is not going to be any waste. And locally here in York, if you're a member of WellSpan, their leadership has informed us that WellSpan patients eligible for the vaccine will be notified via the My WellSpan patient portal. And then for WellSpan patients without access to the My WellSpan patient portal, that they are to call, and I will probably repeat this number more than once, but to call 855-851-3641 to schedule an appointment. And again, we're going to post in the notes of this podcast the reference materials that, Joan, that you have brought to the table, so that folks can find vaccine providers across the entire state on the Department of Health's website as well. What else do you think people need to know?
So to the point you were just talking about with locally and particularly, the resources for WellSpan, this is a public health pandemic, right? This is not a political issue. But when we talk about people and we talk about politics, they're all local. And so I think really from not just our committee standpoint, but also from our caucus, this approach to roll out vaccine needs to be local. It is, it's personal, right? People, this is hitting people, it's hitting their paychecks, it's hurting their family members, it's impacting their lives in every way. And the only way truly to impact that in a positive way, now that we have a vaccine, is to really drive that out in a local approach. And so the things that you mentioned about WellSpan, I think are really helpful because they're able to then communicate with their local constituency. They're able to communicate with their local patients and get that information out. We're really hopeful, and we have really been pushing this administration to share more information. That's when people get scared and confused and call us, right? Is when they don't have enough information to make choices for themselves or their families. So there's a couple things specific to the vaccine though that I want to mention, and some questions that I know have come across my desk a lot. One is having to do with cost. So the vaccine is free. The federal government has partnered with the manufacturers of the vaccines that are currently available through Pfizer and Moderna to pay for them. So the only thing to keep in mind about that is that certainly if you get the vaccine administered from, your pharmacy or your doctor, whoever's administering the vaccine can certainly charge like an admin fee, so to speak. So sometimes when you go to get your flu shot, depending on where you go, you might pay a few dollars for that, which covers the cost of really the supplies and the staffing. But through these recommendations through the federal government, they have also said that, you know, nobody can be turned away if they can't afford, you know, an admin fee that's been placed on by the vaccine provider. So that's something really important to mention. I think also important, especially because we all hear about all these other states, you know, and we have so many of our Pennsylvanians that are looking at other states to figure out how they can get a vaccine faster, maybe from that state versus here. And while that's certainly a concern, I think on many levels in terms of the way that the vaccine is being distributed and making sure that there's enough for other states as well, the most important thing to take away from that is that we do not have what some other states have, which is like a statewide scheduling or registry for vaccine. The way to find out how to get a vaccine and to schedule an appointment is by using that map that I mentioned on the Department of Health website, looking at, and you will see these little colored pegs on there for, you know, the Rite Aid retail pharmacies, as well as the local pharmacies, as well as the hospitals, health systems, and other providers that have signed up to administer vaccine. And when you click on those, you will see the contact information for that location. Some of them will take you, similar to what you said about WellSpan, some of them will take you to an online portal of some kind where you can sign up, where you can see, you know, when that facility will say that you're eligible to get your vaccine. Others will have you call a phone number and you'll schedule with a person at that location. It really depends on how those providers are running that process and managing it. But the state does not have a statewide scheduling. And in fact, I will say for our seniors, if you do find that you are signing up for some sort of statewide schedule, you more than likely are unfortunately signing up for something out of, you know, Ohio or Spokane, Washington. And these are examples that I've gotten, unfortunately, where folks are just looking online for information and aren't even, you know, they're not even in Pennsylvania. So just a couple of things related to that to share. And then also related to the vaccines themselves. So when I mentioned earlier about herd immunity, I mean, certainly, as you had said earlier, Senator, the vaccine is voluntary, completely voluntary. That does not mean that businesses don't still have, private businesses have the opportunity or the option to make their own requirements for their employees. That's certainly possible. However, they have to allow the federal restrictions for folks that may have a medical or religious exemption. So it follows those same rules, very similar to the flu vaccine. But at the same time, I get a lot of questions about folks concerned about the approval process of the vaccines. And it's important to note that both Pfizer and Moderna have been FDA approved. It, however, has been through their emergency use authorization process, or an EUA. And that process is specifically for such a time as this, where we literally have a pandemic that we need to try to get under control for the safety of the public and of the nation. And so that process was able to be utilized for these vaccines to be rolled out so quickly.
Well, this has been fantastic. And I think my main takeaway from our conversation today and the message that needs to be shared with York Countyans is that we need to be patient and that this is going to continue to evolve as more doses of the vaccine become available. And I understand that as of this past Monday, Pennsylvania had 1.1 million doses of the vaccine. And on Tuesday, as you had said, the Department of Health made 3.5 million Pennsylvanians eligible to receive the vaccine. So, Joan, I really appreciate you providing this update to the residents of the 28th District. I think we will be talking to you again soon as the vaccine rollout progresses. Thank you so much. And I'm State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill, thanking you for tuning in to this edition of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by your state senator. We will talk to you again soon.